welcome to this week's episode of True Podcast. I'm your host, Alex.
And I'm your host, Drea.
And today we have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Paulette. She's another one of the really fun group of friends that we roll around with. So yeah, tell us more about yourself.
I was going to cry, but go ahead, Paulette.
Sure. So I'm a friend of Janelle's. I've been a friend of the family for like 19 years now, about. We've been kind of seeing each other grow into ourselves, and we've remained a big part of each other's lives, and even being in each other's weddings. So you're very much my sister too, and Danielle, and your family's my family, so I'm adopted.
I was gonna say how like Paulette is one of these people who I felt so we've had, you know, a few of my sister's friends on the podcast. We've had like Courtney, mm-hmm. John. Courtney made the good point of like she's probably Danielle's oldest friend since like they were like friends in like first grade. But yeah. I feel like Paulette has always been like the friend of Danielle's who has always kind of been like my sister. Like I've always considered Paulette like my, like I've considered like Courtney, John, like all of them, like my friends. And I'm just like, oh yeah, my older sister, Paulette.
Right? Yeah. That's so cute. Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like you guys are family. Like you guys aren't just friends to me anymore. But I started a podcast with your sister, The Moonlit Hour, and our friend Leah. And that's on every Friday, wherever podcasts are. So feel free to watch or listen.
It was so funny, Alex. Oh my God. So I was listening to their podcast, their last podcast that they released this past mm-hmm. Friday. And like the outro is so funny. Like I texted them afterwards. I was like, I literally LOL'd because like they were trying to, like, I think you guys were trying to say like, oh, like our podcast will come out every like whatever day it was.
Yeah.
And they were like on there and they're just like, oh yeah, our podcasts are going to come out every Thursday. And then like Paul's like, oh wait, that's Choopy's day. Brian, cue the music. And like Brian just cues like the outro music. It's so funny.
Amazing.
That's so, oh my God, hilarious. I laughed out loud. But
yeah,
anyway,
it's pretty awesome. Like it gets better. The first one, it's just really echoey because we're kind of still figuring out the tech, but the mm-hmm. second one and like after, it just gets better.
Yeah, I mean that's how it goes also. Like our podcast first episode is like stupid.
Yeah. It's really funny. So because I'm on like the dating side, I'm on its Hinge. Like that's what I'm like casually like kind of on sometimes. I mean, not really right now because I'm not that into it, but there's a guy on there who has his own podcast and he's just like, so which one would you recommend that I listen to first? I'm just like, goodness knows, not the first one.
Yeah.
Please never the first one. Just literally the first one exists.
Yeah.
Which one did you recommend to him, Alex?
Well, I recommended the nostalgia and tech one, like from the oldies but goodies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. So that's...
I feel like the most popular podcast we have is probably a weird one to recommend to someone.
Exactly.
Because our most popular podcast, Paulette, is our relationship podcast where we talk about all of our... Yeah, it's like our most listened to podcast. Like our numbers are like significantly higher for that one.
Yeah.
And so like that one's like a weird one to be like, oh, you're trying to date me? Listen to my past relationships.
Right. Yeah. I'm just kind of like, I don't
That's
know.
So true. That's so funny.
Like, well, our most popular one is kind of awkward for the situation. So listen to something else. Literally just pick one.
Just pick whatever is interesting to you. But anyway, okay. So yes, we have Paulette here on our podcast. She is, I think, not the last, but like one of the later like friends of my sister's who have been long anticipated on this podcast because we always reference you in our episodes.
I know. I was planning on like entering this with like, well, I finally get to defend my honor.
Well, but... the toilet baby has arrived.
Immediately when I listened to that, I was like, how dare you?
Can we point out that every single time Drea brings up the toilet baby thing, I'm just like, why do you have to do Paulette that way?
Yeah.
Why does it have to happen?
At this point, here's the thing. At this point, it's not even that I'm like trying to do Paulette in that way. It's that like I'm almost like making fun of myself because I have so much guilt over the fact that like I told Alex in that podcast, I was like, oh, I'm gonna ask Paulette if it's okay if we include this, and then totally forgets it. And then like Paulette texts me like, oh my God. And I'm just like, that's oh my so God, funny. I'm such a loser. So it's mainly more like a hit at myself, to be honest.
So you roast
with
yourself by roasting me, I see.
If I'm going down, I'm taking you with me.
Always at your expense.
Always.
Oh my God. Anyway, no, but I'm so happy kidding. That I'm so happy that you're able to come on the podcast, Paulette. Yeah. And then we're going to have to get Leah, the final trio, on here eventually. But yeah, so let's move into some of our main topics. So we'll open up the podcast with our usual habits of talking about our week update. So Paulette, since you're the guest, let us know how your week went.
Okay. Well, yesterday I went to A Touch of Disney at Disneyland, and that was awesome.
What is
I missed Meechie's. It's pretty much like, it was like their wine and food festival where you just like walk around and get food and alcohol and order stuff. But this time it was like quarantine edition. So it was really weird seeing, I guess, like the weird repercussions, like everyone kind of like trying to stay 6 feet apart, a bunch of tables closed. It's like so much harder to find anywhere to sit because there's like, you have to like take out every other row so you can social distance. So it was really weird. I can't wait for the vaccine just for things to go back to normal, to be honest. I also watched the Snyder Cut, the
Justice League.
It was so much better. Whedon is so insane to have changed it the way that he did. I feel like the Snyder edition, like, it made so much more sense. Why did he change? Why did he like move from that, you know? Why can he just do his vision? It made zero sense, his changes, after watching that one.
I was talking really briefly to Danielle about that, and she was like mentioning some of the like key differences, like the scene with like Wonder Woman, when like in the Whedon version she's like, there's like that really like highly sexualized scene of her like panting, and then
and then the Snyder
she's just like, wah, and like, you know, kills the dude.
Pretty much annihilates him.
About like differences for that movie, there's like at least two more villains and two more hours of movie. It's a 4-hour movie. That's a commitment to sit through, because like obviously like my family is really into movies, like we all know this about my family and especially my dad, so like he's talking about like, hey, are we gonna like watch this thing or what, and I'm just kind of like, are you gonna be down for 4 hours? Is this something that you want to do? And he's just like, I don't know if I want to do that all in one sitting. And I'm just kind of like, I can't imagine watching a movie in multiple parts that way, not a new movie.
But that's pretty much what they do with miniseries now, you know, like you don't watch it all in one sitting, and it's really cool because they break it up in chapters so you know when to cut, like, because we did 2 days, so we did chapters I think 1 through 3 one day, and then 3 through 6, something like that. We just like split it in half, like in 2 days. But it's cool because it tells you when a new chapter is beginning, so you can pause it and like you can stop it where you want.
Oh, so the movie does that?
Yeah, it like breaks it into chapters, so it tells you when a chapter starts.
Can we just point out real quick, like it's like an audio, like the really old school audiobook tapes, where it's just like switch to the next tape.
Like switch to the second movie. Amazing. Oh my
gosh. Yeah, like Titanic, or like extended edition of Lord of the Rings. Or it's like flip it to side B.
That's so funny. I didn't even make that connection, Alex. That's hilarious. Speaking of your nostalgia.
I know.
Funny. Wow. Okay. So then you would recommend it though, Paulette?
I would recommend it. If you were disappointed by Justice League, you should at least give this one a try. It like does Zack Snyder's vision well.
I feel like there's, you know, really been pretty much only disappointment for DC superhero films.
I was gonna say
exactly. This one's like a win. I would consider.
That's good. I mean, 4 hours is long, but that's good.
Yeah. 4 hours of redemption.
Yeah. But I always think of that meme where they're like, oh, it's so easy for people to binge like 8 hours of a show, but then they'll complain about like a four hour movie.
That's real. I'm a perpetrator.
Like, I don't have time for this, but then you'll just like binge a show for like half a day.
You're so right, because like, when I saw it was 4 hours, I was like, I don't know if I want to commit to that. But like, I have wholeheartedly like binged like Stranger Things, Haunting of Hill House, like all of those shows I really like. Like I watched the entire season through.
I think that you could argue though that there's a lot more that you feel like you're gaining when you're doing that, because like there's episodes that you're taking off instead of just like one whole movie.
It's I guess so. Kind of like that, like it's giving you like a false sense of fulfillment. Like
It's like you're getting more reward out of it.
I get that. Maybe
like one like more and then you just keep going.
When maybe it's also like, oh, like I can stop after the next one and not feel guilt because it's like, you know, end of an episode.
Yeah.
Versus so, like, I can't stop in the middle of a movie. Yeah.
I like to point out for this whole Snyder Cut, because I'll tell you what, I feel like we've been on the verge of this movie coming out for like 3 years, because my oldest brother has been like spamming me and my twin brother about it for the past, I don't know how many years that they've been talking about out the Snyder cut. Mm-hmm. So he keeps, you know, telling us like, oh, it's almost out, it's almost out. And then it's finally out, right? Yeah. And the thing about my older brother, which I had to remind him when I saw this movie, was 4 hours. So when we were all living like in the same house, like when he was like in college, I was in high school, he would try to make me watch TV shows with him. And one of those TV shows is like Arrested Development. I don't know if either of you have watched that.
Yeah, I love that show.
But you know, like it's a sitcom. So like each episode's only like, you know, 24, 25 minutes, you know, without commercials, whatever.
Right.
And we would watch it, you know, on Netflix at the time. And he'd be the one like, hey, let's watch this together, right? So we'd watch one episode. And then about like halfway through the second episode, he'd get up and walk away and just abandon me to do something else because he's like, he has to keep himself busy. Like he doesn't like to sit down for long periods of time and like just commit. So I'm just like, bro, how are you ever going to finish this movie? It's 4 hours. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I actually waited to watch the last Avengers movie until it was on digital because I couldn't stand the idea of sitting through the whole thing. So he did it in parts. He watched the last Avengers in parts.
How did you watch the last Avengers in parts? That movie, I was like glued to the screen, like, what's going on next?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, like... Like, it's not clear that he can't even sit through two episodes of a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
then how does he have any hope?
So ego true. And struggle. Anyway.
What's your dad going to do, Chupi?
Oh, my dad is not going to watch it. I'm straight up telling you, he ain't going to watch it. There's no way. All right. Well, Alex, what was going on with your week?
Let me see here. Okay, so I guess biggest update, most exciting update to Drea probably, is that I had ordered, and I don't know if Paulette knows about this. She probably saw it on our Instagram stories.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So last Monday, I ordered my own comfy.
Oh, yeah.
You guys got me on the bandwagon, so I'm just like, fine. Yeah. I'll order my comfy because I'm tired of being cold on paint nights.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So I ordered my own comfy last Monday, and it shipped really quickly. I had it like by Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, it's really fast.
Have you tried it on yet?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I've worn it. I've worn it multiple times. I like it.
Yeah, it's great. And has your mom been like, I want one?
So no, not yet. Here's the thing is that like me, like how I like to, you know, look, you know, trendy and stuff like that. Like my mom looks at it and just kind of like, what is that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Because of course it doesn't look good.
Right.
Yeah. It's not made for aesthetic.
she looks at it and she's like, I don't know if I'm into this. And I'm just kind of like, listen, if you were to try it on, you would be converted. Because her whole thing is that my mom is always cold. Always cold. So I'm just kind of like, this is the perfect solution for you.
Yeah.
So I just need to bide my time until she wants to try it on for herself. Really?
And then she'll never take it off.
Right.
It'll happen soon.
And
no one can resist. Yeah,
right, exactly. And I was wearing it the other day when my twin brother and sister-in-law came over.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake takes one look at it. And he's like, that is so absurd.
You're getting so much heat from your family.
It's kind of like, listen, man, you can say what you want, but I'm comfy.
I'm the comfy.
TM.
Right, yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, that's been kind of nice having that. Although I am a little bit sad to say that it's starting to get a little bit warmer now in Southern California. So it's been kind of hard to actually wear it because it does its job. It warms you up.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, I run on the more warm side anyway, so I'm just kind of like, I don't need that much right now.
Mm.
But I mean, there's that.
But I mean, when you come over at nighttime, which I'm assuming in the next couple weeks will be happening,
right,
you'll be able to utilize it.
Exactly. It'll be perfect.
Yeah.
I'll be just so cozy. It'll be the best thing ever.
Speaking of paint nights really fast, I also like, I was just pulled the trigger and I ordered all of like the easel and like my own paint set and like like container for paint nights. Yeah, I was just like, screw it, I'm doing it. I'm so tired of like bending over the little table trying to find room.
Yeah,
so I'm like, I'm buying the easel.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you can just like put all your colors in advance, so you don't have to like keep getting up. Exactly. I need to get one.
Yeah, I need to get the easel too, for sure. What else has happened in my week? Well, I've been kind of reminded as of late, like the weekend I had and then the day today that I had, that I really like and enjoy working with students. Like to hear them be passionate about things, because like right now is admitted student week for my school.
Uh-huh.
So we had some student guests at the first event, which was tonight, and to hear them like talk about the passion that they have for their school and how like truly accepted they felt in their community is really just like, I feel like everything an adult should want when they hear kids speak about, you know, their life experience. It's just so terribly heartwarming. It's kind of like, ugh, I love these kids.
That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And especially since they're like, they're tour guide volunteers and I help head up the tour guide program. So I feel like, you know, a special attachment to them because I'm just like, these are my kids.
Yeah, they're having a good time.
Yeah, they're having a good time. They're saying things that like to really like be proud of and stuff. I'm just kind of like, these kids, they're giving me fulfillment right now. So cute.
Yeah.
So that's been pretty enjoyable to me. Other than that, I mean, nothing much, I guess, I feel like is new. It's really weird though to think like out in the world right now, there's a lot more, like, I feel like this is the most free California has been since the start of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because like things are opening up indoor now, like in a real way.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, y'all, it's trippy.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. I actually was at work today and in the background of one of my coworkers who I was talking to, I could see her TV and there was someone on TV reporting with a mask. Oh, and for some reason, that was so weird to me to see on TV, like someone, you know, like the population wearing masks. I don't know why. I don't usually watch the news or anything like that, live. So it's crazy to see.
Wild.
Yeah. Anyway, so I mean, more or less, that's my week. How was your week, Dre?
My week was good. It was uneventful for the most part, and then just recently became more eventful. So on Friday last week, I watched the first episode of the Falcon and Winter Soldier show.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I'm not that hyped about it. Like, I don't know what it is, but like Falcon to me is like a really annoying character.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm not gonna say anything because I don't want to ruin the episode since it's so freshly out. And like, I don't know if you guys are gonna watch it, but basically Falcon does something like in the beginning of the episode that like I knew was gonna be bad. Like I was like, this is a bad choice. And of course at the end of the episode it's like, oh, it was a bad choice. And it's like, you know, like the whole thing, I'm just like, you're so annoying, like, oh, so unnecessary. And the only interesting part of the show to me was like the Winter Soldiers kind of like side story that they were following. And I don't know how they're going to incorporate Falcon and the Winter Soldier into the, actually I kind of do have an assumption of how they're going to do it, but like as of right now they have like two little separate story arcs going on. Mm-hmm. And the Winter Soldiers is actually kind of interesting and like sad, but the Falcons is just like, ugh, sucks.
I agree with you that I feel like Falcon has always been kind of annoying to me.
Yeah,
because I mean for me he's always like seemed to be like kind of like combative with everyone else.
Yeah.
But anyway, so is it like necessary to have completed WandaVision in order to watch this? Because I know that a lot of times these things can be related and I'm just kind of, because my dad really wants to watch it, right? And I'm just kind of like, well, I don't know.
No.
Yeah, it's not related at all.
That's perfect. Great.
Yeah. But yeah, so I watched that. And then really quickly, this isn't necessarily a week update, but I do have a comment towards you, Alex, going back to our podcast on like, who's the best superhero. And I was just thinking the other day, and I remember how we were arguing on that podcast about how you said that Ant-Man sucked, and I was trying to say that he didn't. Mm-hmm. You remember? So I have like another point to make randomly out of this.
Oh my God.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks.
You were like, what was your argument? You were like, Ant-Man is like unnecessary. He's like a weak character?
I probably said something like that. I don't remember specifically, but I'm sure you said something.
Something along those lines. But my argument to that is, if it weren't for Ant-Man, nobody would have ever come back from the snap, because he was the one that was like, quantum realm time travel. So he saved the entire universe.
And that's fine. That's fine. However, like, it's not necessarily that his powers are like weak to me. It's like his character himself is weak. Like he doesn't feel
he
like a very...
He saved the whole universe. I hate you.
That's not what I'm talking about. Like the personality they gave him and all that stuff. Like to me, it's not like as compelling as other superheroes.
Fine. Anyway, okay, my last...
You brought it up.
I know. I'm like fighting you. You're not even trying to have a part in this. Anyways, so my only other like little, well, actually I have two little things left, but today my office, I'm sure you guys were following my saga on Instagram, but
my office
is overtaken by wildlife, which is really interesting because we have geese at our school right now, at the school I work at. And usually what's native to California is like Canadian geese, I think.
Really?
But this particular goose that was there is an Egyptian goose.
Wow.
Which is like really like uncommon to our area. So it's like, this is so random. Like, I don't know if you guys like look closely at the video I posted, but like it's a different kind of looking goose. Like they have like dark circles around their eyes and like their like feather patterns are really interesting. So we had Egyptian geese in my office today. That was really weird. And then lastly, tomorrow I get my second dose of the vaccine and I'm so ready. I'm so ready to feel awful.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the side effects to kick in.
Worth
but
it.
I'm so ready to be fully vaccinated. Oh my God, you guys, you have no idea.
Yeah. I'm so ready. It's not, I can't even get in until May because I don't technically qualify. So I'm like, get here.
Oh, I know. God, as I soon as it happens though.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move past the week updates and move into the meat of the podcast today, which is Paulette's interview in a similar fashion that we've done Danielle's interview and then also like a little bit Courtney's. Let's talk to Paulette. Who are you? So the first thing I wanted to ask you is in regards to how you and I met. So we had mentioned briefly that obviously you and Danielle have been friends for so long and obviously been a big part of my life, but can you share the exact story of how you and I met each other?
Oh my God. So it was for my birthday and I was having this like birthday party in my old house in Covina, and I had invited all of my school friends, including Danielle. And I remember like them telling me my friend's here, like someone looked through the people and told me my friend was here. So I was like, ooh, I wonder who it is. I'm like, I open the door and I see Danielle and like holding her little sister's hand, like Andrea. It was so funny because I just see you like run, and then Danielle's like, well,
well, that's done with.
Yeah, like coming in like relieved.
Yeah,
but yeah, I remember wearing my Powerpuff Girl pants, and those were, they had like the, I think it was like, what was it, like sewed on patch or something? Yeah, on the it side was, like,
embroidered Powerpuff,
yeah, Girl, it was like an embroidered Powerpuff Girls, yeah, jeans, and they were my favorite jean for like,
yeah. And so on the flip side, when I had, no, because, okay, so before I had ran, I remember she opened the door and then I'm like standing with Danielle, like so ready to like party at this like fifth graders party, you know, me being like in first grade. Yeah. And then I like look at Paulette's pants and I was like, where did you get those? Well, it's like, I don't know, like Ross or something like that. And I was like, bye. Ran back to my mom's car, got in the car. I was like, Mom, you got to take me to Ross right now.
I was a very frequent Ross shopper my childhood, entire childhood.
Me too. Like, like my mom took us to like Ross and Marshall's and TJ Maxx like every day.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. So then Danielle went into Paulette's party, had a like grand spanking time. Meanwhile, I'm like, Mom, we're going to Ross. So I made my mom take me to Ross. I found the jeans. I purchased the jeans. And then we came back to pick up Danielle and I was like, in the jeans. I was like,
you were so hyped about the jeans that you couldn't like, you had to immediately put them on.
Because I loved Powerpuff Girls and I was like, excuse me, they have merch.
Okay, because I know for whatever reason, like I've seen this like on forums and whatever, and this seems to be like a debated topic. Where do you guys land in the whole, do you wash your new clothes before you wear them? Random question.
Interesting.
Because like to me, because to me, I wouldn't have worn those pants because they hadn't been washed yet.
Interesting.
Yeah. So interesting.
In today's COVID era, I wash everything before I wear it. But prior to COVID, I never washed anything new. I just would wear it.
Yeah, same. I don't usually wash my jackets or anything.
Yeah.
The only thing that I wash is like bras and underwear.
I don't even wash that. Like I'm just,
you don't
like,
wash underwear?
It. No, I mean, I wash it eventually, but like, I mean like
eventually, but you wear it first?
Yeah, I'm nasty.
I can't right now. I just really can't deal with what I just heard.
Germaphobe.
Well, I don't know. I never thought about it. Oh my God, that's like a bad statement to put without context. You don't wash your underwear.
God. That's gonna be taken out of context.
here's my thing with that. That just like makes my skin crawl. Like, oh my God. Really, I get it.
What if people are like trying it on?
Because they do. They do actually do that stuff.
Well, I should do. Have herpes. I have the end.
They 100% do. They do.
For me. Also, okay, in my defense, prior to like recent days, and Alex actually knows this because we talked about this like kind of recently, I only ever bought underwear in like the packs prior to recently. So like, it wasn't like I was just getting like singular like underwear and then like putting them on, you know? I like bought the packs like in the bags of underwear.
Okay. I mean,
in my defense.
Maybe.
Because it wasn't until recently when Alex got me on like Aerie that like I started buying separate underwear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, by the way. Because
so it's not as gross as you like are maybe thinking. I mean, maybe people are taking it out of the, but then they're like rolled specifically. Like, I feel like I would know if someone took it out.
Well, and it's like the workers know how to roll it.
Maybe. I feel like online shopping is kind of like not a factor in that particular realm. I'm not thinking that people are trying on the clothes that you get from online shopping, but like in a store, yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, I always, forever and ever wash my clothes before.
I feel like now, like, the world is judging me.
Yeah. So, anyway. When you bring up like work, ordering online and how it typically comes from a warehouse. Mm-hmm. So I used to work in Macy's and I was part of, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the, not the distribution, but like I was part of inventory, I guess. Like I would have to find things that people order online in the store.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes at Macy's, like if you ordered something online, I would have to find it like in our store and then get it ready for shipping.
Yeah.
So some of the stuff you order online still comes from stores.
Yeah, that's how it was at Sports Deli too. Okay, perfect. Okay, let's get back in. So I'll move on to the next question. Okay, so anyway, moving on. Alex, why don't you read, Paulette, our next question?
I'll move on to the next. Actually, Alex, can you move on to the next?
I realized what the next question was.
Amazing. Okay, yes. So, Paulette, as you may or may not be aware, sibling dynamics are kind of a frequent topic that we cover on our podcast. And we would like to know your take on what it's like to be a middle child, because obviously my experience being a middle child is a little bit strange because I am a twin who's a middle child. So yeah. It's not really like middle child probably. So let's hear the real, true E-Hollywood story, of being a middle child.
So it actually is really weird for me too. I feel like I was more than just like the middle child growing up, because as a child, like I was the middle, but it was weird because my older brother had passed away after when I was like younger, and then my older sister got kicked out when I was young. So I was the middle child growing up, and I did feel the neglect because my little brother had just been born, but then my older siblings, like my older sister was kind of a troublemaker. So my parents would be busy
what
parents do, like they were disciplining her, like they were constantly just trying to like discipline her. And with my little brother, like we were also taking care of him, so there was no real time for me, and I kind of understood that, like I had to take care of my little brother and help or whatever, and I didn't mind that, but I can kind of understand that part of the dynamic of like being neglected, I guess. But then after my sister got kicked out, then I became the older child in the house. So then I kind of had to assume responsibilities and help, like most of the bills were under my name at like a young age, so I would have to call and extend bills, and it was just crazy. But
you would have to call for the bills?
Yeah, I would have to like call to extend, or I would have to ask them to delay, or he would just have me call for all kinds of shit. Like if it wasn't working, if cable or internet wasn't working, I would have to call and like try to get it fixed. He was very, it's funny because I can kind of see the boomer mentality also, even though he's a first generation immigrant, I can kind of see the boomer mentality, because he would always tell me like, oh, you have to get mad, or you have to tell them that like you're leaving for another company, or he would tell you like, oh, they will give you stuff if you get angry, if you're, he would like make me push and ask for the manager and like do like the boomer stuff, and I would hate doing it and I would feel so guilty, and then the guys wouldn't even budge, and I was like, what are you talking about? He'd be like, see, you didn't go hard enough, like you didn't Like, I don't know, like ask for the other manager or something. So that was kind of weird, but yeah,
nightmare, Paulette. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, I learned a lot about, this thing called CPTSD. Apparently I started therapy. So,
what is oh my God, what is it?
Yeah, it's CPTSD. So, and essentially this is kind of what got me wanting to start a podcast. Like, since I was like young, I wanted to do something to kind of help other girls who don't feel validated. Mm-hmm. And initially I wanted to call it like, Girl's Guide to the World, and kind of just help with topics that don't really get discussed enough. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But our podcast right now is about mental health. And I had started therapy a couple of years ago to kind of unwrap my childhood and my family dynamic, and even just like my life growing up. Mm-hmm. And I learned that I have something called complex PTSD, and that's typically with family dynamics. So PTSD is like for specific trauma, like with military, when they actually observe specific events that like change their perception forever. Mm-hmm. But with complex PTSD, it's more under the skin, and it's more psychological, and it's through a longer period of time. So it's more like it goes more towards like children and people with like difficult upbringings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I've actually been learning a lot about that, and it's really interesting because there's not a lot of research on it yet. But it is in the psychological list of disorders or whatever.
The DS.
Yeah. Whatever. It's like DS3 or DSLB, something like that.
DSM something.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, so we're kind of diving into that on our podcast, and I've just been kind of learning a lot along the way. And yeah, I feel like the middle child dynamic is a weird one for me, because I went from being like a middle child, like a true middle child, to like almost a household older child.
I would even say like you weren't an older child, you were like a parent.
Right.
Yeah. Like, actually, that's part of the complex PTSD too, as they say that like the parents try to make you a parent as well, almost to replace them, because my mom was constantly working, and then my dad wouldn't work, but he wouldn't really want to deal with it, so then it would be on me to deal with it. So like it's almost to like replace them.
Wow.
Yeah, very interesting.
That is, I definitely didn't like, I knew that like obviously, you know, your family dynamic was like, you know, special in a way that like you were kind of like this adult figure in your household, but I didn't know about complex PTSD. Like, I've never heard of that before. That's really interesting.
It's really interesting. And like, there's a lot of books on it too right now, that even if you don't have CPTSD, I feel like it's a very interesting read, just because it also talks about like your four F reactions, the freeze, flight, fawn, or fight. Mm-hmm. And then it talks about how you can typically go to one specific reaction more than most, but how you can use each one when it's appropriate, and like how to get into that. So it's just a really cool read in general.
Yeah, I'm actually going to read that, because I feel like what is it called? The four Fs?
Yeah, the four Fs.
I feel like that's something of like particular interest to me, because I feel like what's like the most common one, like fight or flight, right? Like those are the two more common, like of the four.
Yeah, that's typically the most common growing up, because they would either see you fight that was considered, I guess, brave, or flight, which was a cowardly. And that was the only two categories, but it kind of opened up recently. And now there's fight, which is now also kind of given a negative connotation, like if you're constantly needing to fight, and then flight as well, where it's more of an avoidant. Mm-hmm. And you're constantly trying to like avoid your problems.
Yeah.
And then there's fawn, where you immediately try to suck up to whatever is threatening you, because that's how you understand how to deal with threats, is by just doing what they say and like moving along so that they're not angry at you anymore. And then there's freeze, where you just like are shocked and you're like in your body and you disassociate.
So, I feel like, I feel like I definitely, in moments of like, I don't know if terror is the right word, but like in moments of conflict, I definitely feel like I tend to freeze.
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing. Like every single time that there's been something that like for example, there was one time when we were in college, and I was carrying like my fish like out of my room and like its tank or whatever, because I was going to clean it. And then like as I was carrying it, because it had a lever on the top of it, like the top detached from the bottom, and like the thing like crashed on the floor, and like water went everywhere. The fish is like flopping on the floor.
Wow.
And I was literally just like standing there like
frozen.
And like my boyfriend at the time was like, do something, you know? I was like, you know, I was like, oh my God, you know?
Yeah.
And like there's been like multiple times that happens to me, and I'm just like, that is not... good thing that
I definitely think that mine is probably an even split between flight or freeze.
Yeah.
Either I try to avoid whatever issue it is, if it's like too much of a pain for me to deal with, or I disassociate from it if it's too traumatic.
Mm. Yeah. And there's definitely hybrids like that. So some people are exactly like you, where they're flight or freeze. I feel like I'm a fawn or freeze. Mm. And then I don't know what you are, but there's a like different hybrids with every single one, like that you can combine, because it's just how some people react. Yeah, so it's really interesting, but it also talks about, it breaks it down into categories so you understand like which one you fall into or what hybrid you fall into, and then it talks about like what you can do in order to like use each reaction appropriately.
I need to read that because I do not react appropriately.
It's really cool.
Dang, okay, thanks Paulette.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to a little bit lighter of a topic because you know how it goes. Yeah. But yeah, okay, so
you know,
like we said with siblings, we often like, it's like kind of this recurring theme that happens on the podcast, and another recurring theme that keeps on coming up somehow is Alex's like love for Animal Crossing.
Yeah, bro.
And I know that you also have like a little bit of an obsession with this game, as do like all of, you know, my sister and all her friends, whatever. So I have a question for you that we've actually asked on the podcast before to Alex and Danielle, but if you were to be able to either change or add something to Animal Crossing, what would it be?
I wish they would make Isabel more useful. Mm-hmm. I wish she would actually tell you when you had certain visitors like Red or Flick or CJ, even though I know you don't know who these people
I'm
are.
Like, right, yeah.
Yeah, you're like,
our listeners know.
Right. CJ.
Right. I mean, I feel like things could go like a certain way with like the visitors on your island. Cause like first, like you look in your town square to see if there's anyone there. And then if there's not, you get your hopes up thinking that it might be like Gulliver or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you check your
entire perimeter.
Yeah, you check your entire perimeter to just find if Gulliver's there, and then he's not there. And you're just kind of like, well, what the heck? Because that means that probably either CJ, Flick, or Sahara are just wandering around aimlessly on your island, and you have to track them down.
Exactly. But when it's no one, it's like, guess I'll just die. Like, there's nothing here for me.
Yeah, I mean,
come back tomorrow.
Yeah. The only way that you really know if Red is on your island is actually like if you have your map like constantly set to show, you could see the boat on your map.
Yeah, that's the one that I appreciate that you can see. But if Isabel would just tell you, like, oh, hey, watch out for this sketchy box on the beach, you know, or I feel like they could do so many cool dialogues with Isabel and like all the characters. So I feel like that's such a missed opportunity, because she literally tells you, oh, here's the today's announcements, and it's always just either campsite or her non-personal habit.
Yeah, she's like, oh, well, there's no news today, so let me tell you about my personal habit.
Yeah, exactly. But then I see Flick just walking around 3 hours later, and I'm like, you lying punk. You lied to me.
Amazing. But so I agree with you there.
That's amazing. Okay, well, in addition to the stupid game that keeps plaguing my life,
you know what, you're gonna play at some point too, so don't even,
and you're gonna be obsessed.
Oh, don't add us right now.
Okay. Anyway, so are there any other hobbies that you feel like particularly moved by that you want to share with the podcast?
So I feel like I have kind of picked up a good amount of hobbies as of late. I did start reading again. I started reading different books, like the CPTSD book or a lot of like self-help mental health books. I've been looking more into kind of meditating and figuring out how that is. And even just a couple of minutes a day, I feel like it's really cool because it kind of forces you to talk to yourself and like figure things out. And it's a cool time to yourself. I've always like been to music.
Like, huh? Sorry, for the meditating, okay. Do you use like any like apps or anything that you would recommend?
So I follow these like specific like meditating people or like gurus or whatever, and they'll tell you, oh, think of this, and they'll kind of give you things to think about and like sit on.
Okay.
And then I just play like meditating music, and I'll just think on that and like try to just like, even if it's just a few minutes, like it's really cool to do.
And are there's on, like, this YouTube?
Yeah, there's like some on YouTube, on Instagram that I follow. There's this guy called Sad Simon or Simone, and he's really cool, but he gives this template for meditation where he makes makes you think about being in this utmost better like world. And you find out that the best person in the world, the person who is just at their utmost enlightenment, is standing at the top of the mountain. And you want to go see him and like kind of ask him questions. So you start your trek, you go through the journey, you climb the mountain, you go through the cold, you camp out, you finally reach the top, and you find out that this person is you. What do they say? And that's kind of like what you have to think about, is like not only like that person is you, but what would they tell you? And yeah, I feel like that's just like really cool to kind of do and think about. So those are cool hobbies I've kind of been picking up on.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like, I'm like really, I like meditation. I'm not very good at like actively meditating, but like I feel like I really enjoy subconscious meditation. Like I'll have like meditation guide, like guided meditation, like on in the background, like as I'm like going to sleep and stuff. Like I feel like I really enjoy stuff like that. There's the one that like I've always listened to like growing up, and then like I listen to still. It's this woman called Louise Hay, and she like kind of focuses on eliminating like childhood trauma.
Is it healing your body?
I think it is like, I think it is healing your body. Have you listened to that one?
My therapist told me to read that, and I want to read it so badly.
It's really good. She has like a lot of like, they have a lot of her like audio, whatever, on YouTube that like I always listen to. And then she has like her books. I really recommend it. I really like that one. I feel like it's like super, what's the right word? Like therapeutic? I don't know.
Yeah. I'll definitely check that out. Thank you for telling me that, because I've been wanting to get it, but I think you sold me on it.
Yeah, I really like it. But anyways, continue with your hobbies.
Well, yeah. the podcast has been really cool too, to kind of start. You kind of inspired me with that. I started like listening to your podcast, and it just seemed fun, you know? And I thought about how that would be with my friends, and I thought, you know, that could be really fun, especially because me and Danielle, you know, and Leah especially, like all three of us have been just going through this journey like these past couple of years, especially this past year with quarantine and COVID. It's been such a journey for everyone, and I think that kind of starting a podcast and being able to kind of talk that out with all of us and getting different perspectives, that's really cool. So I've really liked that.
Super, super true. I feel like this pandemic has been like a really big time for people to start like looking within.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of figure out, even with almost all of our friend groups, we even have new jobs this year. We all have even started working in totally new places because COVID completely like changed or rerouted all of us.
You know? Right.
So crazy to think what the year would have been had COVID not happened.
I know,
for sure.
Yeah, with all the changes that have happened, it's crazy to think like what could have been. And I feel like with kids nowadays, like I wonder how they're going to see this time. I wonder if this is going to be their big moment, their big event where they kind of saw things fall, and you know how they saw like homeschooling and Zoom schooling and all that stuff. That's so interesting.
I feel like I'm interested to see how it affects like
culture,
like youth, like the age range, like K-5. I feel like most specifically I want to see how it affects their development. I feel like older kids, like once you're in 6th through high school, I feel like it's kind of like, okay, like, you know, like this sucks, but it's not going to necessarily deter who I am as I grow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to have huge cultural repercussions.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting to see how this affects everything, because even at my job, even at my prior job where we worked in an office, they said most meetings were from this point just going to take place in Skype because it's just so much safer than just meeting in person.
Yeah.
So the fact that like meetings in a conference room and things like that, that's essentially kind of dying out now. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting to see what else is going to change. I feel like, especially because America is such an affectionate country, like everyone hugs. And I mean, I guess everyone has their like cultures where like with affection, where they hug and they shake hands and they kiss and you just like aren't afraid to show affection. But I feel like that's going to totally change in the future too.
Absolutely.
I wonder if it's going to be like Japan where they constantly wear masks, or if that's just going to be a norm for us.
It's not going to be a norm for us. I'll tell you that right now. Look at Texas.
Yeah.
People are like refusing to wear the mask. I mean, it'll be my new norm, but
it'll like just change things.
Did you say pedo right now?
Me?
Yeah, I heard you being like pedo.
No.
We switched you to Spanish.
Unless I did like instinctively and I just don't even remember.
Go ahead, Alex.
Well, I think that there's probably going to be a little bit of splitting the difference there, because like I think that obviously, because all of us would probably stay say this, we want to return to some sort of semblance of normalcy.
Yeah.
So I can see it maybe adapting to how, like, you know, how you brought up how the Japanese wear masks actually when they're sick.
Yeah.
I think that could be something that actually sticks around. Like, if you're feeling a little bit ill, you might wear a mask when you're out and about and whatever. I could see that happening. I don't see it necessarily happening in the day-to-day. As soon as people could get rid of that, I'm sure that they will.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, like, go ahead.
I'm not really sure, like, in general, that it's going to stop people from, like, shaking hands, like, when you meet someone else, because that's so deeply ingrained to, like, us as a people, or even, like, hugging, like, your friends or, you know, whatever. I mean, Dre and I aren't particularly into hugging anyway, but, I mean, other people are. So I think that, you know, those sort of things probably won't change as much, but I think that there'll be different things that definitely adapt in, like, a kind of halfway point, like, meeting each other halfway a little bit.
Yeah. That was actually, that going off of that point, Alex, the whole, like, how will things change? How will America adapt? It kind of reminded me of something that you had mentioned to me, like, really briefly in passing recently, and how I hadn't really thought about it until you said it. And I was like, oh, that is kind of, like, interesting. Because obviously, like, me and Paulette, we're married, you know, it's not a big deal. But, like, I remember I had said to Alex, like, really casually, like, I was teasing her or something. I was just like, oh, like, make out with this guy, whatever. And she was like, yeah, that's really going to happen with COVID. And
oh my gosh.
That's kind of a good point. Like,
for that's true.
Someone who's single, you know, like, in your perspective, Alex, like, is that kind of, like, stressful? Like, not, you know, like, how does it affect the dating scene, you know?
Well, see, that's the thing right now. Like, something that I'm complicated anyway when it comes to dating. Like, I'm very either, like, I'm into it or I'm really, really not into it. So right now I'm going through a phase where I'm just really not about it, like, kind of at all, at least the online dating scene, because that's all I really have at the moment.
Right.
I just don't like meeting up with strangers, because I'm not really, like, super, you know, super, super friendly with strangers. That's not really my thing. I'm kind of wary of people I don't know. I like, whenever I have a relationship that's based off of, like, friendship, that's, like, my whole thing that I really, you know, enjoy. So there's that. There's the whole, that whole thing. But also, like, it really would just depend. I probably would want to put, like, a pause on that sort of thing for, like, random people until, like, we're more in a normal spot.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's just sense. Like a weird thought, because I mean, like, I am definitely, like, guilty of, when I was single, like, being in a bar and being like, I'm gonna make out with you, and then, like, thinking about that now, and I'm like, oh my god, how many germs was I accumulating back in those days?
Well, I mean, like, you think about it, because, like, the way that, you know, things are probably gonna go, like, historically have gone with, like, viruses of this kind, is that as years go on, it's gonna be less and less of a scare sort of thing, you know? Like, I know obviously this point in time was really scary for us, and that's going to leave, you know, its psychological scarring on people.
We're going to all have complex PTSD.
But I think, you know, moving forward in the years ahead, it'll be less and less of a risk, really, to people. So I think that, you know, as time goes on, it's not really going to be something that I'll be super stressed out about.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the situation to which you were referring, I also wasn't really that stressed out about it either.
You're just kind of like,
yeah, I mean, because I would have said something to that effect regardless. I'd been just like, dude, shut up, you're so dumb.
You're right. Okay, anyways, let's bring it back here to the main topic. And this is the last question we have for you, Paulette. But another recurring theme on our podcast is the idea
of the leftovers.
No, yeah, literally. We're like, well, it's like funny because, like, a lot, I feel like a lot of things that you have, like, a lot of say about just so happen to be, like, things that we have a lot of say about. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which kind of makes sense, like, why we're all friends. But, anyways. Okay, so yeah, so we have a recurring theme on our podcast of astrology. And so me and Alex, like, we've kind of agreed multiple times that, like, we don't really pay too much heed into astrology. Like, I pay attention to, like, information about Aries because that's my sign, and I just feel like it's funny and it's, like, fun and this, but I really don't, like, I don't believe in it necessarily. I'm just like, oh yeah, that's applicable, whatever. And then on the flip side, like, I think Alex is even less so, you know, moved by it.
My official stance is that it does nothing for me. I mean, because, like, in the sense of, like, I'm not searching for, like, that sort of, like, cosmic answers or whatever to things.
Sure.
That's not something that I'm about. But also I think that, you know, when you make kind of blanket statements about things, like, I think that a lot of people can just identify with it, like when you say general stuff.
Sure.
Because, you know, in reality, although yes, all of our experiences are unique to ourselves a little bit, we do have a lot in common as the human race.
Mm-hmm.
So like you say something kind of general and a good portion of the population can relate to it.
Right.
So that's kind of like how I see things in like horoscopes and like astrology stuff. So I'm just kind of like, it doesn't do anything for me personally. I don't particularly believe in it, but you know, I think that it can be funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes, especially mm-hmm. since my sign is basically a jerk.
Alex is a Scorpio. Just,
oh,
so I'm just mean to everyone all the time. Yeah. See?
Yeah. And like,
I'm just the worst. Don't worry about it.
Oh my gosh. And so like, obviously like being an Aries, I'm also like, you know, labeled that like hot-headed, like the fiery, annoying one. And I'm, but here's the difference between me and Alex is that I wholeheartedly am like, yes, I am the annoying, fiery one. Like, I am like, okay with that. But I also at the same time, just like, I don't know how much I actually like buy into it. I just think it's fun. So yeah. Being that like our stances are a little bit more like, you know, not so much buying into it. I know that like you guys just did a podcast specifically devoted to astrology and how like you guys feel like it has some legitimacy. And so I wanted to ask you, like, first of all, like, what's your sign? How do you identify with it? And like, why do you like make an argument to us non-believers,
yeah,
why we should like pay more heed into astrology?
Yeah, so I guess, well, I'm a Cancer starting off, so Cancer is also known as the moody, like I feel like everyone has their I guess their, like, slogan. How you said, like, bitchy type. Yeah, like, yeah, everyone has that piece of it, you know, like everyone's sign is some sort of attitude because everyone has it, like everyone's human, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it doesn't really say anything that is crazy impossible either, you know. And like with me, I am very moody. So I've always kind of identified with that sign. Like I even say in my podcast that I'm like the mascot for Cancer because I feel like I'm just like the most Cancer person. And I feel my feelings very deeply and I feel for others. I feel like that's mostly where my empathy comes from. I'm a very empathetic person and I'm a very big crybaby. Like Cancers are known water signs. Mm-hmm. And I do cry a lot to everything, but for me it's mainly because I relate to other people so easily. So I very much relate to my sign. Even the parts where it kind of tells me to be more mindful, like the mood swings. Yeah. And it even tells me that I can tend to kind of make snap judgments and when meeting new people and not giving them a chance because I'm jaded, which I am. I'm like, no, once you've wronged me, I don't rest you, you know. But I have kind of been more mindful with kind of learning about that stuff. So I really like to learn it. I feel like a lot of people kind of relate it to religion and cults. Mm. But I feel like that's comparing apples and oranges. Like I feel, to be honest, like cults and religions are way more dangerous. With religions and cults, there's not only like these, I guess, blanket statements that like everyone has to kind of just believe and not question whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But there's like a set of rules that absolutely everyone has to follow. And if you don't, like, you're a sinner and you're not, you just get cut off, you know. Mm-hmm. From your loved ones, or you're not seen as good. So I feel like that's just a way more dangerous route to take compared to astrology that kind of just tells you what to be mindful of. It's more about being mindful of yourself, like how you can come across to others, how others can perceive you, how you can kind of, I guess, treat others too. It just kind of tells you to be mindful about what, how you act, and pokes fun at it at the same time. So I really like it. I grew up with Walter Mercado, with like my family, like coming from the Hispanic side, like they always watch that, like even, and like they would go to church too. So they were Catholic and would like listen to astrology, and astrology is taken so seriously in every other culture except this one. And I feel like Western culture kind of just unnecessarily genders everything, and astrology is seen as a more female thing, but everything else is like okay for some reason. But in every other culture, they use astrology to matchmake, and they use astrology to figure out like everyone's natal chart and relate. So I find it really interesting how the Western culture just kind of dismisses it so easily.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've it's not something that like I blindly follow or anyone should blindly follow, you know. It's something that everyone should read into, and if you like it, then go with it like anything else, you know. know, just don't use it as something to like base judgment off to someone else. That's the only thing, is like, if you're going to be biased, like you're going to be biased regardless of what you follow. So as long as you're not biased about it and keep an open mind and use it, you know, for good and not evil, I don't think it's a problem, but I like it.
Well, that's a really interesting take. Thank you for sharing that. I definitely like haven't really considered how, I mean, you use the word dangerous in terms of like religion and like cults and stuff. And that's like an interesting word to use, but I see what you're saying. Like in terms of like, there's more, actually maybe dangerous is the right word to use because I can't even think of another word. But like, I get what you're trying to say. It's just like, there's a lot more like stipulations, you know, like you have to like you're saying, you know, like there's expectations of like, you need to follow this, you need to do that. And like, you know, depending on if you believe in religion, if you believe in a cult, you know, which it works for you, but it may not work for like the next person, you know? And so it kind of makes sense to me how like, if you don't necessarily, like if you don't have a religion, you don't have like necessarily like that, like loyalty, I guess, to something, astrology would be a good alternative to like what you're saying, like being conscious of who you are in this universe and how you're affecting others.
Yeah, because the natal chart, and it's interesting because now there's like something called the big three, where it's your sun, your moon, and your rising. And with me, my sun is Cancer, my moon is Virgo, and my rising is Gemini. Mm-hmm. And each one has like very different things. So your sun is essentially your ego and what you identify yourself as. Mm-hmm. And then your moon is your, what is it? I just remembered it.
It's like what you show to like others. Like,
I guess it's what you show to others and like how others see you. But then the rising is your mask and like how you're seen, you know? So I really relate to those because kind of taking into account like each three, I do see very big, I see very big, like common factors and like traits and like how I am. And a lot of people like to say that, you know, there's no way that the placement of the moon at the time you were born can affect your personality like that. But I feel like people also don't take into account that the moon controls our tides and it controls our actual planet. It has effects. And if the moon and the sun ever cease to exist, like we would cease to exist. Mm-hmm. So how could it not affect us that way? I don't see how that's also not a possibility. So I don't know, for me it's all about keeping an open mind, you know, because I feel like we're just a singular planet, like the world is so much bigger than us in the end. So for me it's like, how could that not be a possibility either?
I mean, I would say, I think for all of these things, you know, whatever you choose to believe in, because obviously we all land on different sides of this whole spectrum, I would say that it's important always to be, you know, thoughtful, educated, and discerning. Because like, I can agree in the sense of like cults and even, you know, sometimes quote unquote religion can be dangerous in the sense of if you are not discerning and if you don't know the creeds in which you practice. Because like, I would make, you know, certain arguments about like, you know, how you see in like culture, really, especially right now, you're going to just hear about the craziest people from each subset of society. That's not really, I feel like, representative of a whole group of like subset sort of thing. So I do agree that, you know, certain things can be dangerous in that way. But also like, if you really know what you're supposed to be practicing, then I don't think that it's necessarily what it's portrayed as, you know, in popular culture right now.
That's what I was saying to Paulette's point. It's just like, if you don't know necessarily enough about, you know, a religion or something like that, like I feel like astrology is a good alternative to just kind of like be conscious of like your place in the universe.
Well, yeah, I was Catholic and Christian. So I had my communion for Catholicism, and then I was Christian from high school through, I think, like 22 or something. So I've like really like learned a lot from everything. Like, I'm not just like saying things just to say things, but I also, I'm not saying that like everyone who follows religion is bad. Like, that's why I said, like, if you're going to be biased, you're going to be biased regardless of what you follow, whether that's Jesus or whether that's astrology or whether that's like anything. You're just, if you're going to like be biased against someone, like that's just the venue that you're choosing to be biased on. But just don't do that, you know, like don't use religion to like judge others, like use it to be mindful of yourself. Like, I feel like that's kind of what everyone should be looking into, no matter what they follow, is like, don't worry about like what the other person is doing, like that's and live their life, make you the best person you can be, like but I feel like more people take advantage of Christianity, just like coming from Christianity, like I used to like really identify with that stuff, and I just didn't like how so many people that I knew would constantly judge others like based on what they followed or what they did with their life. They could be the like most like perfect like beautiful people, but if they were gay or if they got an abortion or if anything like that happened, they all of a sudden would be like sinful and not worth anything, you know? And I feel like people shouldn't place value on other people like that, you know? And for me, like, that's why I like astrology, because astrology is more about like being mindful of myself and not caring about others. Yeah, like that. Like, of course I care about others, but not, it's not about them. It's about like being your best self.
Right. I mean, and obviously like that kind of gets into a whole different like topic podcast, like all together. Because I'm just kinda, like,
me, you can talk about this forever.
Right. Yeah. Because like I'm a youth group leader at my church. Right. So like, you know, I spend a lot of time, you know, talking to like, you know, kids and whatever about like their faith and all that stuff. And like one thing that I've been saying to them often lately, I'm just kind of like, you know, I feel like it's more so our place, no matter how you feel about whatever anyone else does, to love them. Because ultimately it's not your job to condemn anyone. That's not how it is, because we are all equally, like, we all have our stuff. It's not fair to like point fingers at other people over different things, because we all have our things.
Definitely.
And it's better to just be compassionate and loving, because that's really what the whole purpose of this whole thing is.
Yeah, it's so true. I totally agree with that.
Yeah,
I feel like that message will just do so much better for the world than anything else.
Right.
Yeah, amazing. Well, good talk there, guys. That was like a good rounding out of
it's gonna podcast. Be your first 2-hour episode.
I know, no, we've had the one with John, our first 2-hour episode.
Is that one really 2 hours?
It's like really close to 2 hours. I know that one's like our longest one, but yeah, so to wrap this whole thing up and put it in a little nice bow, tune in to the Moonlit Hour, you guys. They're on Spotify. Are you guys on YouTube?
No, but you can follow us on Instagram, the _ Moonlit _Hour. We like our underscores.
Yeah, so follow them, guys. Really good stuff. And then otherwise, you'll catch us next week with, I don't know if we're going to have another guest or if we're just going to do something funsies. We've been mentioning reprising some of our episodes, like the movie reviews or the scary stories. Mm-hmm. So tune in next week, guys. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, she like dipped.
She just left
real quick.
Bye, Paulette.